My name is Connie, and I just want to share something that I learned in taking my grandchildren up to school. I noticed that the little guy who is 6 was releasing some anger when I brought him home. And so I decided I would play with him when he was upset. When he would be whining, I would just say, "Hey, what day is this?" And he'd say, "Tuesday." I said, "You know, there's no whining at Nana's house on Tuesday." If he was pouting or if he was running around, I'd say, "Hey, what's today?" And he would say the day. And then I would say, "There's none of that today in Nana's house." So I just wanted to share that because it really, really worked.
It's a wine-free Nana's house, I guess, right? Hey, listen. It's true, Nanas and Papas, we got a little more time sometimes to think these things through, but I know parents, you're right in the trenches raising the kids and it can get difficult. But today we got a lot of encouragement for you, and I want you to know that your kids are watching you. They're watching what you do more than what you say. And I think you learned that kids tend to catch what goes on in the family more than what they're trying to be taught. Both of them, when they're in alignment, is a powerful thing. Hey, I'm Dr. Randy. Today, we're talking about parenting. Love to have you join in. It's part two of a discussion from several days ago on what is it that your kids are seeing in you that you're not so thrilled about, that you don't want them to emulate, if you're being honest, or what are you doing that exemplifies what you know is important. Love to have you join in on our storyline, our comment line live right now at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717, as you often hear me say from our archives, we're pulling the calls for the show today. They're already lined up and set. And so your calls will be on the storyline, which we will listen to and hopefully be able to share some of these on upcoming shows. So again, share your story. 888-888-1717 is the number as we talk about being that intentional parent.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. This is Stacy. I just have a quick question about your show, in particular today with regards to respect. I am curious about dealing with a son who is in his teens, early teens, reacting to a father who commands and demands respect. So is it best to approach my husband as far as smoothing out that relationship or approaching my son or both of them? I have worked hard to respect my husband, even when my son is being disrespectful, even maybe for the right reasons. It sounds really terrible, but I hold my tongue and definitely support him for sure, my husband, that is. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Yeah, listen, I think you're doing a good job there. I mean, you're trying to stay out of the middle. You're respecting your husband. You're not taking sides with your son, which would be very disrespectful. Obviously, it sounds like the real concern is toward your husband more than your son. So it's more of a parenting issue with your husband, you're concerned, than with your son. And that can kind of settle itself out. If your husband is responding in respectful ways, you know, it's hard to expect respect from someone when you're not giving it to them. I mean, you know that. So to answer your question, I think you should talk with your husband at a moment, not right in the middle of the issue or not right after all the emotion, but sometime when you're together to be able to just say, "Hey, honey, do you have a minute? Can I just share with you something I'm observing that I'm concerned about for you and for our son? I know you want the best for him, and I know that order and obedience and all of that is important, but here's what I'm sensing and seeing, and I'm wondering if you tried this or that, if it would make a bigger difference." And I think you put the ball back in his court. You let him know what you're concerned about, what you see. You're concerned about not just now, but down the road, when your son grows up and leaves home, what kind of a man or husband or father is he going to be? And maybe some of those attributes that you'd prefer he not continue on with. So that's where I would head. That would be my 2 cents worth. Thanks for sharing that today. All right, let's get started here with Todd, who's on the line in Arizona. Hi, Todd.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. What's your comment on this topic today?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I 47-year-old with 3 children. I have 2 daughters and a boy. My eldest is 25 and my son's 19. And my eldest daughter and I have had a extremely strong bond early on in childhood. Well, when she was very young, I had been dabbling with drugs and alcohol, and that lifestyle consumed me to where from the age of 17 to 44, that's really all that mattered to me was drugs and alcohol. And I chose that lifestyle over my children. Now, my daughter has a lot of the attributes in which I do, and one of my fears now that God has delivered me from that lifestyle is that my daughter would travel down the same path in which I was on for so long. And it revealed itself that that is the case. She has been headed down that lifestyle, and so me being recovered can see the sign.
Yeah.
And although she's in a different state, I chat with her about the do's and the don'ts and the, you know, don't do this and the rules and the rules. And I have a mentor of mine, his name's Mike, and he asked me about a week ago, he said, when you talk to Yvonne, do you talk to her as if she's a 25-year-old lady? And I says, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And he says, listen, he goes, you're not talking to a 25-year-old lady. You're talking to a 10-year-old little girl that got abandoned by her father. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, when he said that to me, it's as if God gave me the eyes and the ears to really hear what was coming out of my daughter's mouth. And he was right on the mark.
Mm-hmm.
I have been praying for reconciliation with my children, and it seems as if in the next 3 to 6 months, my eldest daughter is going to be coming back to Phoenix, where I haven't been a father that has provided a good foundation, a church, anything like that. And I do believe God is going to give me another opportunity at bat for that. My fear, however, is that when she gets here, that I will be so overbearing mm-hmm. and try to put so many rules down. You know, you had one of the callers that was talking about rules yeah. and relationships. I think she was right on the mark, and my fear is that I will be so overbearing, you know, about the do's and the don'ts. And the intent will be forthright and good, but it perhaps will drive her away.
Yeah, but the good news is, Todd, you're very well aware of it. It's the people who aren't aware of it, and they don't make a change. My guess is because you're aware of it, you're gonna naturally put some balance in there and be catching yourself. In fact, just tell her when she comes back, hey, honey, listen, I'm still recovering too, and I may become overbearing. I may feel like that, and I start down that path, and I give you permission when I do that to raise your hand or give me a word or something. In other words, let her feel the power, empowered enough to be able to tell you knock it off, and you say, oops, sorry, and you back off. That's part of relationship. And so don't operate out of fear. And as you know, Todd, coming out of this, that you got these feelings of regret and the feelings of guilt and the things I should have done. And Satan loves to use guilt and regret in our life, especially when we know it's, quote, justified because of what we've done or who we are, instead of feeling the freedom. That's why I always tell people the windshield in our car is many, many times larger than that little bitty, you know, rear view mirror that's up above. And there's a reason for that. If that rear view mirror took the whole spot in front of my face, you know, I'd be crashing every time I turned the corner. But we put that up there so I can glance at the rear view mirror, get a picture of what's gone on in the past or behind me, only to learn from it so I can move forward, but that I keep my focus and gaze clearly on the future. I think of what Paul says in Philippians 3, forgetting those things which are behind, good or bad, I press toward the goal of the high calling, the upward calling of Christ. And so I would encourage you, as your daughter comes back, if she does, just acknowledge it. You're just a person, you're a dad, you're learning, and help her feel empowered to be able to tell you when to back off. And when you do that, I think it'll make a difference. So we'll be praying for you, Todd.
Thank you.
Okay, my friend. Thank you for calling and sharing your story. Very encouraging for others. If you got a story you'd like to share in our comment line, call 888-888-1717.
I was calling regarding what I do intentionally in raising my children. And one thing I do often is intentionally talk about the crossroads that you're going to have in life, not only in the decisions that you make, but the consequences to your decisions.
One thing that I do is I talk to my daughter, and when she does something that she's not supposed to do, rather than yell at her, I bring her to me and I ask her about making good choices.
And one thing that we do as an intentional parenting towards our kids that is working is taking them to church, following up with them, and to show them not only that we love God, but show them an example that we trust God.
Here's a question from a parent. I yell too much, Randy, at my children. How can I stop? I am Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. The scripture says in Proverbs 3, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. So correction is a part of the process of being an intentional parent, because God is our parent, corrects us, doesn't he? The goal, as we talk about here at Intentional Living, is to raise a responsible adult. In fact, we have a whole study on that topic. So parent up and power down. Kids feed off of your power. If you want to be an intentional parent, do it consistently, lovingly, with less words and less power. Be clear on your expectations and be consistent. And be prepared. In fact, I would encourage you to practice in advance your parenting technique and then follow through. That's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Today we're talking about intentional living in terms of our kids and our grandkids. They catch more than what we teach them, let's face it. You know, kids, you know, you get a five-year-old and you're trying to teach them and you're trying to use all the words, and of course you need to do that as well. But I'll tell you what, if your words don't match in any way with what they just experienced, they will always default to what they've seen. Now, if they're supporting each other, that's a double positive. But if you're giving them two different messages, don't yell at your brother and then you yell at them, what kind of message is that? I mean, let's just, you know, nobody would like that. Well, that's confusing to kids. And then you feel guilty and it gets a vicious cycle. So we're not talking about perfection today. We're talking about developing a better strategy. And here at the Intentional Living Center, we have a Raising Responsible Adults curriculum where we really focus on some of the really practical things that you can do. And we've got some comments, people who shared some things that they're doing with their kids. I think it'll be positive for you. Here's one that talked about the importance of helping her children develop better decision-making skills. Take a listen.
My husband and I are choosing to be intentional parents. We are not teaching our daughter that happiness is paramount. We actually are teaching her to be a decision maker and to be a faith-based decision maker based on principle, and we're really focusing on right and wrong as opposed to do what makes you happy. So we are teaching her that happiness will be there. It's not something you will have to pursue if you're a faith-based decision maker. So thank you, Dr. Randy, for reminding us all to be intentional and sharing the benefits of other people's intentional living with us.
Oh, you're welcome. And that's really profound what she shared, that we help our kids make better decisions. Think about how intentional were your parents in helping you become a good decision maker? They may have disciplined you or punished you when you made the wrong decision, but starting to instill how decisions are being made, observing how decisions are being made, letting you make decisions and then talk about it afterwards if it didn't work, what would have been a better way of approaching it? It's a great gift we can give to our kids. Dawn from Kansas has a great idea, and one that we've talked about over the years, about what I might call a home game, having your place be the place where the neighbors come and not having your kids go to the neighbor's place. That way you can really be a greater influence, not only on your kids, but on others as well. So Dawn, go ahead, share your thoughts.
As far as being intentional about our parenting, my husband and I have six children under 16 years of age, and we are intentional about making our home out in the country a place where their friends want to be. Whether they're saved friends or unsaved friends, we really are proactive in making our yard fun with rope swings and tire swings, trampolines, treehouse, just all kinds of different things and activities for the children to do, and have an open door policy for those friends to be at our home. And I think it's a really great way to be in tune to what type of people your children are hanging out with and building into their lives along with your children's lives.
Boy, that's good. You know, you talk to a basketball coach. You know, we're big fans of the University of Arizona, where I graduated, and the Wildcat basketball team, and Sean Miller, who's the coach. If we got him on the phone right now, and I said, Sean, would you rather play a home game or would you rather be on the road? Would say, well, the record's better at home, right? At McHale Center, the record is much better than when they're on the road. Why is that? Same players, same basketball, same size court, same size, you know, everything. You're in an environment that you're not comfortable with, you've got more opposition, you don't have the kind of support and lots of other things. And so I think as a mom and dad, when you can open your home, have your home be the home court, you got an advantage there as you watch your kids and how they interact with others. And I think she's right on. She's doing an excellent job in setting the stage. And we had by the way, we're sharing some comments with you. And the reason we're doing this is because you all, when you call our comment line, share such wisdom with us that we want to be able to get out to others. And so, by the way, if you have a thought on this and you want to share it on the comment line, it may show up in a week or two down the road. Who knows? So you're welcome to call 888-888-1717. But here was a comment from one of our listeners, and she really, really emphasizes as a daughter now. She's talking about her father now, all right? She's talking about, from the daughter standpoint, the impact of her dad being one-on-one with her. And I think it's a powerful reminder, so take a listen.
My father realized when I was a teenager, when I was in high school, I'd just broken up with a boyfriend, and he started taking me out on Friday nights. I was in the middle of eight children, and we didn't get much one-on-one time with Dad. But when he got home from his job at midnight, he took me out for a Coke, and we did this a few weeks while I worked through this hard time. And then as my dad would find time from his three jobs, there would be chores that had to be done around the house, and I would go help him so that I had special time with Dad. And we would talk about things of God. He would explain things to me. And I also was learning how to take care of things around the house, which has helped me recently, as I'm newly divorced and finding that I need to take care of the house. So I learned a lot from my dad, but he always showed me great love. And when I think of my father's love, I think of God's love, how great it is above that. Yet, so it has helped me get through some pretty hard times.
Wow. You talk about childhood memory. That's excellent. Thank you for sharing that. Did you hear what she said? She's eight kids, right in the middle of eight kids. But Dad took time for me when I was going through a tough time, and we went out even at midnight. He's getting home, so what? You know, wow, supposed to be in bed. Well, Dad's getting some special time with daughter to really listen to her and have this one-on-one time. Powerful thing. My wife Donna and I, we have eight grandchildren, and we were talking the other day. We get everybody together. You put the parents and everybody together, and it's a madhouse. It's loud, but it's great. I mean, we love doing it. We have fun doing things. But you don't get one-on-one time with the kids, with the grandkids. And we've set on a journey to say we want to get to know each of our grandchildren individually. We know who they are. And so we take them out, just them, not their siblings. Bends their nose out of shape, right? How come I don't get to go? It's your time later. But we do one-on-one to be able to spend some time and just talk to them. The other day, the whole family was at our house. It was chaotic, and everybody's doing what they do, a family thing. And Kinsley, who is our second in from birth order, grandchildren, and she's eight, very creative, very articulate, very gifted. And I decided I didn't want to talk to the adults anymore. I mean, the adult discussion was going nowhere. And so I sat down and talked to Kinsley for probably 10 or 15 minutes. And she was showing me about gymnastics and what she's doing. Then she would illustrate it. And then she'd come back and I'd say, well, what's the difference between gymnastics? And I think she's in dance class. Tell me the difference. And she would explain all that to me. And what I got behind her eyes. I started to see this little girl has a passion for this kind of expression and things. And that was important to me. And after she left, I thought, you know, I could have, the adult discussion, we can catch up on later, but spending that one-on-one time, what's going to happen is your children will grow up later, or your grandchildren, and have an early childhood memory. Grandpa or dad or mom spent time with me. Listen to me. It's very powerful. We're talking about how do we model for our kids the kind of adults we want them to become. And your thoughts on our comment line are always welcome at 888-888-1717.
Well, my one thing is to write down Bible verses for the next 30 to 31 days. And each day, pick a verse and share that verse with my children and get four, maybe five different answers from them. And, you know, that way I get to see what God is showing them through their eyes, and I get a whole nother lesson on what the verse may mean. So, and then they get to hear what, you know, my version is, and so we're sharing a lot.
That's the power of one thing. I wrote a whole book on the power of one thing. You know, when you think about it, if you do one thing consistently and over time, it makes a difference than doing 100 different things. Kind of like hitting the nail on the head. If you keep hitting the nail on the head, you're going to get more than if you hit a whole bunch of nails on the head one time. And that's true in life, and it's true with your kids and your grandkids, and that's what you're doing. So God bless you. Thanks for sharing your one thing today, Holly. By the way, if you have a one thing that you do, that you say, hey, making a difference in my family, with my kids, my faith, if you were to think of one thing that's working for you, what is it? Could you tell us your story? Call our comment line, our story line. Just tell us your name and what your story is and what that one thing is. Give us a call at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717.
What is this? Say it out loud so everybody hears it. What is it? How many of you all know what a screwdriver's for? Everybody here knows what a screwdriver's for. See? And everything has a purpose. The screwdriver won't cut copper pipe. And the copper pipe can't be used as a screwdriver. Now, I was going to bring my electric drill, because it's cracked and broken because I tried to use my electric drill, the backside of it, as a hammer. have you ever done that? You drill the hole and then you gotta hammer something in, and so you just turn the drill around?
I'm confessing my faults, and it works if you're careful, but isn't that true? You know, the Bible says we're to sharpen our saws, and why? Because if you have a dull saw, it's hard to cut. And everything has a purpose. And when we decide and learn what our purpose is, why we're here, it helps us live our lives intentionally in Christ. And of course, when we think about parenting and what we do in raising our kids and our families, they're catching. We know our purpose and we're living our purpose and we're doing it intentionally. I don't mean just our careers, by the way, that's part of it. But knowing why we're here as a mom or a dad or as a man, as a woman, as a grandparent, and living that intentionally, it's transformational. It gives a message to kids. And you know what? One of the greatest messages we need to be whispering into the ears of our kids and grandkids is you're here for a purpose. God loves you and He cares for you. And you know, this month of June, the featured teaching lesson on our digital platform for members is Intentional Living 101. It's the basics of intentional living. If you haven't heard it, I hope you will. If you're part of the Intentional Living support family, share it with some people who need to be encouraged. And I want to challenge some of you today to come and join us in financial support. We need your help. We're just a couple weeks away now from the end of our fiscal year at the end of June. And what happens in the next few days is going to be a huge help to us to close out, because we got a ways to go yet. Your best year-end gift, maybe you could give a 13th month gift, an extra month, that would be appreciated. Whatever you can do, we appreciate it. What do you do? Give us a call during West Coast business hours. 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or you can go to our website anytime, of course, at theintentionallife.com. Click on that donate icon. Whenever you join us in monthly support, we'll make sure that you receive that link to our digital platform of teaching from the last couple of years from our Intentional Living Center. And thank you. God bless you. All right. Maria wants to share a comment. Maria, go right ahead.
For a long time, me and my husband had problems, and I would always leave when it got a little tough. I'd pack my stuff and leave. And for the last 6 months, the last time I left, it's been about a good year. But anyways, God dealt with me, and he told me, he spoke to me, and he's like, you know what? you have a 15-year-old son and you're showing him how to be with his family whenever he gets older. And, you know, that just really hit my heart so hard because our kids see us for what we do, what we say, who we are. And I didn't really see that till God spoke that to my heart. And I'd been doing that for 14 years until God spoke that to me. Everybody was telling me it was wrong, but until God spoke that to me, I didn't realize that it was so bad for me to do that. I just want to tell all the moms out there and dads that, you know, when you have problems, keep them between you and your husband, yeah, because your kids see you as an example. Oh, and they'll follow your footsteps.
Yes, that's true, Maria. They do. And that's why we always counsel, go behind closed doors. If you got issues in your marriage, don't lay out the laundry, as it were, in front of the kids. Deal with them behind closed doors, because your kids, again, kids will catch more than they're taught. And when they see a discrepancy between actions and words, that creates, you know, frankly, it creates a problem later on when you talk about what God is doing in your life. You talk about Christ in your life and what he's doing in your life, and then your behavior doesn't follow. It creates confusion for kids as well.
Hello, Dr. Rainey Carlson. My name is Emily, and I'm 11 years old, and I listen to your radio all the time, and I get what you're saying. Before I listened to your radio show, I was not doing what God wanted me to do, and so I listened to your radio show, and I wanted to be intentional, so I changed. It's all thanks to your show. Thank you so much. Again, my name is Emerald, and I'm 11 years old.
No matter what age you are, every decade is a time of growing. And Emerald, in this decade, it's a decade of building our identity. And building your identity in Christ is a smart thing to do. We got a world today that's chasing after all sorts of different identities, trying to identify with something, trying to be something. I mean, we know psychologically that we want to belong. And so many times people are chasing for identities which will lead them to a dead end. And when we go after our identity in Christ, it can change everything. So thank you for sharing your story. You know, our comment line is open 24 hours a day, which is a beautiful thing. And we just open it and say, hey, you know, tell us about your one thing. That's a big part of our ministry. What is your one thing? What is it God's teaching you? What's one thing that's making a difference in your life, in your family, your marriage? Tell us your story, because those will show up on the air in the days ahead. Just give us a call at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 is the number. Remember, the ultimate goal of today for this program was to encourage you to be the parent that God wants you to be. Remember, your kids are watching you closely. So be intentional in your life and pass that message on to them. And when you do, that really is truly what I refer to as being an intentional parent. Have a great day.